Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back and relax and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce. It's Martina Fuchs. It's hard to describe her, but from global TV journalism to healing frequencies, Martina Fuchs connects business, music, and human transformation worldwide. I'm very happy to have her here. So, but first, let's kick things off with a song selected by her. Hello and good morning. Journalist, global moderator, DJ, multilingual bridge builder, and co-founder of The Frequency School, Martina Fuchs moves between business, culture, and consciousness. Her work connects world leaders, sound healing, female empowerment, and global transformation in a way few voices can. Welcome here in the show, Martina.
Thank you so much, Annabelle. Happy Friday and great to be here on UK Health Radio. It's a great privilege.
Thank you so much. You are a cosmopolitan, and if I should describe where are you from, it's hard for me because it's not where are you from, but who are you, or which world citizen are you? Where are you now?
I'm currently in Shoreditch, London. It's sunny here. It's beautiful, but you're absolutely right. I move between different worlds. In a short description, I would call myself global citizen. But I was born in Zurich, Switzerland. I'm very lucky to have a Swiss passport, which enables me to travel around the world. I feel home in every country, every location on the planet. The last time I met you, Annabelle, was at the World Economic Forum in Davos. And just transcending different cultures. I speak nine languages. I studied different cultures and communication styles. I really feel like a chameleon that is able to adapt to different environments. So I love traveling. I love connecting people and building bridges, just as you mentioned in your beautiful introduction.
Thank you so much, Martina. Let's stay with this, what you said in your last words. You speak nine languages. Really impressive. I could imagine there's maybe English is a part of this, maybe German, German, Swiss German, then I guess maybe Chinese. You speak Mandarin?
Yes,
Oh,
exactly.
wow.
And Arabic
Impressive.
as well. So yes, growing up in Swiss German, Switzerland, my native language is German. And then I studied French because in Switzerland, as we have four national languages, we have to study one national language before English. So for me, that was French. And then
Wow.
English. And I went to the Type D, as we called it, college, which was focused on learning languages. And so I did after French and English, Italian and Spanish. And then my best friend and first boyfriend were Portuguese. So, through friendship and love, I studied Portuguese, continued then with Portuguese and Arabic at University of Geneva, also studied international relations there. And then when I was even 16 years old, I fell in love with Africa and studied Swahili in my spare time. And as you may know, Swahili is very closely related to Arabic. Even Swahili, the name comes from Swahil, which means coast in Arabic. And so that was kind of the first step and move into the Middle East and Arab world. And so after graduation from the University in Geneva, I continued my studies at the American University in Cairo in Egypt, spent a year there, traveled frequently to Yemen to submit my master's thesis about the small arms weapons trade and sustainable development impact from that. And then my first job was with Reuters in Dubai. So I traveled a lot around the Gulf Arab countries and then moved to China for 5 years to start to work for the Chinese National Television. So yeah, really a polyglot and just loving languages despite, AI and Google Translate. I think it's really important for cultural understanding and the human connection to still learn and study languages yourself.
I'm absolutely with you. And also, not to forget about the dark side of the internet, which could be also, of course, that if you have no idea about the language and just let ChatGPT do the job, you don't know if there's maybe something involved which you don't want to say, no? Just fine elements, but maybe also ChatGPT is translating something into the wrong. And sudden, you see yourself surrounded by some people looking a bit confused about what you said, right? And therefore, I completely agree with you. Languages are the building bridges for around the world. Are this what you need if you want to understand cultures and if you want to heal the world also, and contact and bring in contact as a kind of puzzle stones? As diversity is great, but it has to be understood.
Definitely. And there also music comes in because I do believe that music is the universal language that connects us all, especially now with the work we are doing with sound frequencies that have a healing mental and physical health impact. And we have seen and are witnessing the resonance right now of this global movement that we have with the Frequency School and big global moments like 11/11, where we launch the Second World Frequency Day. And so, really getting everybody tuned to a new reality that is hopefully better, based on sound and frequencies and well-being for everybody around the world.
Absolutely. So your 10th language is music, I would say, because this is not something only which you are great in organizing, but also great in interpreting as a DJ, right?
Absolutely. So it's still a bit of a hobby, my DJing, but I grew up in a family with my Swiss parents and my brother. My mom is a multi-instrumentalist. She plays the violin and flute and piano and everything. And so when she was pregnant, I guess I got this already in my blood and in my body and in my
Amazing.
heart, the music. And then my brother was a hip hop DJ. And so I heard him scratching in the basement all the time. And I always loved music. I went to live concerts around the world and festivals. I'm now on the board of the Montreux Jazz Festival China, which is very famous, obviously, as well. And the addition in the Chinese city of Suzhou and Hangzhou is becoming more and more popular. But apart from playing the flute, I wasn't really skilled, I think. But then 3, 4 years ago, during the pandemic, I all of a sudden saw a DJ deck in a bar, and I had like a download and the vision. I want to learn how to DJ as well. So I went to the Point Blank Music School here in London for a couple of workshops and sessions, had a mentor DJ, and bought, vinyl equipment and Serato DJ tools and mixers and monitors. And so I've been traveling around the world a little bit, from Kigali, Rwanda, at a hotel to the Montreux Jazz Festival in China, to a hotel in Bangkok, next week to Italy to play at a retreat. So it's quite small scale, but I don't mind about the audience size because every person counts, whether it's just 5 people in the room and having the best time in the world or 1,000 people. So I just want to spread great vibes and energy.
Wow, love it. Reminds me of when I was invited to a young DJ to Tenerife, and it was a quite well-known place where I was invited, and I thought that I'm not the only one surrounded by maybe thousands of people. And when I came there, the DJ was standing there alone, and then I started dancing. So I was dancing over 3 hours, just enthusiastic dancing. And after the 3 hours, I looked around me, and I was still the only one. And what I never forget is the DJ. He looked at me, he stopped, he came from the stage, and he said, "Am I? And is it okay?" And he surrounded me, he just cuddled me, and he said, "I'm so thankful for your dance, for your attention, because every person counts for me. And I know that when I made you happy and you could enjoy the last 3 hours, this goes in my heart. And I can count as if it's 1,000 people."
This is such a beautiful testimony, and I had a similar experience at the Climate Hub in Davos during the World Economic Forum at the last day on the Friday. And I had just wrapped up a panel, moderated, and then went into DJ mode and started playing. The room was crowded, a lot of people drinking. And then about 2, 3 hours later, towards the end of the night, we just had about 30, 40 women, and they had all been working there, during the World Economic Forum, and were so like releasing their stress and anxiety and dancing the whole night long. And just also this female energy there in the room was just absolutely divine, and I will never forget that night.
I love it. I mean, I think this Davos was also special for you because the people celebrated because of you, because of your birthday. And I think what makes you big is not only that what makes you creative, but also that you allow other people to stand next to you. And that it, for you, it's about sharing. It's not about ego pumping, right? So
Absolutely. You hit the nail on its head. So we had 3 major initiatives with the Frequency School that I co-founded with Major 2 years ago. Major is a cancer survivor, and I think this is also very relevant for UK Health Radio. Going through his cancer survival journey, he started experimenting with the sound frequencies. He's a US Grammy nominated producer, singer, songwriter, produced for Justin Bieber, Drake, Nicki Minaj, all these big celebrities. Is a part of the EDM duo with Martin Garrix, Area 21. And when we met, we had this big vision to share our vision for healing the world with sound frequencies and launching a global movement for mental health, education, and wellness. And last year, we had a first Guinness World Record for the 195, which was the first song that united every country on the planet, because one woman from every country in the world said the word equality in her native language. So it's kind of we are the world. And he used the 528 hertz love frequency, as it's called also, and the sound of birds and the heartbeat of women. So that was a milestone for us. And then on 11/11, we launched the first World Frequency Day out of Dubai, but we had about 30-40 satellite activations around the world. Our community, our friends started doing breathwork sessions in Mexico, yoga in New York, cacao ceremony in Guatemala, DJ parties in Kuala Lumpur. So it really became a viral global moment at 11:11 a.m. or 11:11 p.m. global time. This moment was celebrated. And then when we met Annabelle at the World Economic Forum, we launched a frequency circle. And I think it's very important that we go to these big global gatherings, which are quite heavy politically and business-wise as well, and from the inside spread a different message for unity. 11/11 also was chosen for the number one, of course, and bringing people together, especially in these crazy times of geopolitical fragmentation. So we always go in and try to bring people together and have a positive social impact around the world.
I love what you say, Martina, and I think that it's right, exactly the really right decision what you're doing, because art and music, culture, all these things need to be exactly at this location to give the people a glimpse, at least an idea of what humanity means, especially in times of technology, of AI. Where it's not just that we have to save our humans, we have to save humanity, and we have to save the ethics to understand better why we're here on Earth, what we can deliver, and what makes us so unique. It's not the AI which makes us unique. It is the humanity, the differences between us. As you said, very nice, and I love this song with these voices from all over the world, which shows equality is set in so different languages and so different voices, but it unites us. The belief in a world worth living in, it unites us that we are more than one. It unites us that every little step, and if even it's a sad word, can make a difference. And I got really goosebumps. I'm a huge fan of what you're doing, and it's great that Major and you went together there. I think Major had this cancer in his early 20s, right?
Absolutely, yes. He had leukemia, and that was really an eye-opener, and he experimented with different modalities, you know, TCM, traditional medicine, Western medicine, found a balance between both. But this, you know, really made him embark on this life mission of wellness, mental health, well-being through the transformative power of sound. And we all experience now sound baths and sound healing, and it's becoming quite a trend. I'm based usually between London and Dubai, but spend most of the time actually in Dubai at the moment. And with the war that we had, we feel more need, of course, for these kind of alternative modalities and tools as well. But there is also a huge sound healing wave. Everybody wants to become a sound healer now. But we at the Frequency School, we don't use traditional bowls and gongs. We really use the radio frequencies, the hertz frequencies. Major likes to use 444, 432, or 528. And even for World Frequency Day, we used 11/11 hertz, which is quite special because of the number 11 again. And then we created a song called Unity 11/11. So we believe that we're only just scratching the surface also when it comes to medicine and frequencies, because we believe that they can heal to a certain extent, but a lot of research and development has to still be done, of course. Dementia, Alzheimer's, some people are convinced, maybe even fight some cancer cells. So we want to just elevate, humanity, advance research, whether it's clinical but also culturally, right? We're now also with the Frequency School rolling out our impact initiative, because the youth and the next generation is very important, so that they are able to learn different tools from what we have learned at school. This is very close to a major's heart, especially when it comes to mental health and well-being. So we are creating and establishing and building music production studios and wellness labs in underserved communities. Like, we launched the first impact initiative in New Delhi in India, together with the Harmony House, which is a local charity organization. Just next week, I'm going to Dharamshala, where we also launch a new music studio and wellness lab. And then with the community radio Eldos FM in Johannesburg, South Africa, we're now starting a partnership as well to bring music and education and mental health tools to the young people there.
Wow, very, very impressive, Martina. I will have some further questions to you, definitely. Also some ideas on how we can drive this further, also for the listeners, that they get the best out of it. For now, we have a small break of approximately 2 minutes. So please stay tuned, and I'm happy to continue after this 2 minutes with Martina talking about frequency and how to heal the world.
Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we continue with questions to Martina. Martina, you just said how active you are in building the frequency schools around the world. And I heard, for example, Johannesburg. Is it a plan that you build these exactly there, where there's a lot of criminal intent, where there's a lot of, let's say, dark mood, maybe. I mean, you are traveling between London and Dubai, you said. So Dubai is currently also something, a location where a lot of people would say, oh, I'll leave this out for now. It's a location where we feel in danger.
For me, it's very important to go to places of challenges and locations that are not easy, but there is a big need for our work. So I definitely don't shy away from, risk and adventure. I feel an attraction to that, obviously, without being, without provoking anything. But we go to where we see the biggest gap. So these are places that have underserved communities, poverty, maybe crime, yes, but we seek partners that are aligned with our mission. And for example, in Johannesburg, Eldos FM, this beautiful local radio station, is close to Soweto, where Nelson Mandela has done all his incredible work. There's also the Nelson Mandela House, and we go with this light in mind that we want to spread. And we don't shy away from these challenges. But of course, a big part of the project is always fundraising. So if we find a good local partner, then we are going to be very busy raising sponsorships and partnerships as well. And as you can imagine, this is not an easy task in the current environment. But now that we have, for example, in New Delhi, the Harmony House India, which is a very well-established local charity, and we have a network of donors and individuals and other organizations and also companies, we are really, you know, privileged and lucky to have them. And now we are very selective going to different places, but we definitely want to go to the places where there is the biggest need for our mission, with, you know, serving youth, young people with music, mental health and education.
Can you explain what you exactly do on the ground, and maybe also an experience which is touching you?
Yes, absolutely. So it depends on every different location. But what we do is we build a music production studio with monitors, with keyboards, with microphones and everything, laptop stations as well. And then often we hire a music teacher that can help the children there on the ground. We provide digital assets with which the children can learn how to produce music. We are also working on a curriculum with 10 modules which explain how frequencies work and how they can be tuned to their music and song production. And then we also equip them with wellness and mental health tools. We always adapt to the different, you know, situations. But this is, for example, how we work in New Delhi now. In Dharamshala, we are now finalizing the studio. We are going to have the opening ceremony on the 28th of May. And there we have already, you know, shared all the equipment. It's now being constructed. But there, for example, we need a, you know, humidifier. We need different tools. So internet connection as well. So it really depends on the situation on the ground. The local radio station, Elders FM in Johannesburg, is, of course, already a radio station. But they need more funding. We need to refurbish the studio a little bit and also help them structure the programming, how to produce music, and, you know, support with equipment and also educational tools.
Wow, very impressive. Are you addressing it to everybody, or is it limited to a special age?
Mm-hmm. So usually we like to have age groups between 7 and 18. But we have also, you know, over the past 2 years, traveled to about 15 countries. We've done workshops for the International Committee of the Red Cross and their staff in Geneva, the United Nations leadership in Beijing in China, IMD Business School in Lausanne, Switzerland. So we talk to different demographics, but the core of our mission is underserved youth and helping them. So yeah, mostly the age groups between 7 and 18. We've also been recently working with a US charity called Gift Connect, and they focus on 0 to 3 and even pregnant moms. But yes, our priority is definitely 7 to 18.
Interesting. And is it that you work then together with schools that they can attend?
Yes, absolutely. So at the moment, we are reaching out to public and private schools around the world, also virtual and digital platforms. So everybody listening to the show, if you have schools in mind that want to work with more music and mental health tools, we would be really happy to connect and work with them. In the first instance, we will have English as the main language for the curriculum. But the hope is really to, as you know, I'm a linguist, translate the curriculum into different languages, including Arabic and Chinese at some point.
Great. Do you have maybe an experience which you can share with us, what mm-hmm. this frequency does with somebody before and after?
Yes, absolutely. The impact is immediate. So I will never forget the day we went to New Delhi and to our project with the Harmony House. And they basically had a football ground full of children, about 200. They were jumping, they were crying, they were laughing. And then Major started addressing them, you know, very fresh, very cool as he is. And then we played his sound frequencies, just like Reflection for 144 hertz that we listened to at the beginning of the show. And the kids were laying down, they were meditating, they were maybe even falling asleep. And they just totally changed into a different mental health state. And then we did an exercise, which is called Draw What You Hear. So they were playing the most beautiful drawings and paintings, you know, imagining them flying or dreaming or, you know, butterflies and flowers. So it was really beautiful. So it should be incorporated, you know, usually in a daily routine. People do a lot of meditations nowadays. So if you can just, instead of listening to, you know, banging pop music in the morning, maybe listen to different sound frequencies. We believe that it puts you into a totally different mood. It helps with stress and anxiety relief. And yeah, it's definitely a healing factor in life.
Right. This sounds really, really perfect. And while we were saying this, to my inner eye came the situation that, or came the idea that I thought, why are we doing this in the schools nowadays, that we're hindering the kids on getting to their roots, understanding how to unfold their potential, saving this? We tried to disrupt that, as say we as a society or as institutions. And later on, we say, oh, you need to get creative, you need to be disruptive, because otherwise you don't get a job anymore, because the AI is there. And everything what you've learned at school, that you have to stay quiet, that you can raise your hand, but you are not sure if somebody takes you and you're able to say something. But later on, this quality, everybody wants again.
Yes, it's somehow really a vicious cycle. And we, you know, don't say like AI is bad or this and that, but it can go hand in hand. And I believe like the more AI grows, the bigger is the need for these kind of alternative tools and spirituality. But I would also not call myself like, you know, spiritual, but also business. So it's an interesting mix, I think, that we see now. But definitely there is a paradigm shift in the world, and executives and CEOs and prime ministers, presidents, everybody's more in tune now. I think everybody feels the need and knows that we can't continue like this, especially since COVID-19 and the mental health pandemic also, right?
It's interesting that you say this about spirituality. And I mean, people often doubt saying, I call myself spiritual or so, because it has a kind of negative connotation somehow. But where does it come from? Because and real, to be honest, is spirituality something which is just grounded in yourself? It's a form of expressing your thoughts, ideas, which are more than just the fact you see, but maybe the ideas you have beyond, the dreams, the visions, everything else which is bigger than yourself. What do you think? Why do we call the spirituality as a kind of weird or something we shouldn't count on?
That's a great point, Annabelle, and very valid. I believe that it's because spirituality has been seen as a threat to religion and politics and everything else, because it can be quite powerful and it is a huge transformation. So depending on what you believe in, it has been, you know, earmarked as voodoo and everything. And we have met some skepticism as well at the beginning, but there is so much, you know, resonance that we are feeling now and interest, because people know that we can't go on like this. And even a short while ago, this month, I was in a darkness retreat in Poland for 3 days. And people also thought initially, this is crazy. What are you doing in this cabin in total silence and darkness for 3 days? You're going to emerge as some ghost or spirit. But it's an absolutely wonderful experience just to sit there by yourself and having different ideas and visions and and some people deal with their trauma, that they had in during their childhood or so. I believe now, I mean, the reactions I got were absolutely overwhelming and more people want to do it. So there is more open-mindedness and curiosity for sure.
Absolutely. And I love what you said. I also had this experience a few months ago. And it's interesting because the people I was surrounded with, they before this experience said that they are shy or frightened about being alone with themselves. Being alone with themselves, just alone in a room without other people, without a phone, without any internet connection. And I was a bit confused to hear this because I thought, okay, the people going there should be a bit farther. And then I thought, it is not about far. It is about just our society, which teaches us very deeply that mm-hmm. we can't stay alone. We need a coach. We need a phone. We need a computer. We need all these devices. Alone, we are not enough. So then looking back or looking into ourselves, he might feel a bit that we meet there a bit emptiness maybe.
Yes, and we might meet ourselves and see things that we never wanted to see because it's really a self-discovery, this journey inward. But I believe we are such, you know, travelers and we have so many events that we go to around the world and holidays and whatnot. We always travel outside, but really looking inside and just sitting there by yourself, it's a big test. A lot of people, you know, really struggle, but at the end of the day, yourself is all you have. Everything else can disappear, but you need to have such a strong core and know yourself inside out, and then you can actually, you know, build the life the mission that you have. But this is really very important, this self-discovery and journey inward.
After this time in Poznan and in Poland, would you say your life routine has changed? And if, what are your three hacks you would like to share with us?
Mm-hmm. It has been a very transformative experience. I can't yet really say and confirm that it was life-changing, but the days after, I still feel so elevated and uplifted and light and just putting mind over matter. All of these daily small things, all of a sudden, they don't matter anymore. And I'm very focused on our vision with the Frequency School. Like nothing can derail you anymore. And the three life hacks I have is, first of all, making a social impact is very important, more important than money and everything, even though, of course, we need funding to sustain our projects as well. The second one is don't care too much about what other people think. You need to have a purpose in life and a meaning. And with that, you can also find your own peace and happiness. And the third one is be who you want to be and make sure that you live your life to the fullest so that later on in life you don't have any regrets. Like, always remember your childhood dream, whether you want to be an actress or a doctor or a lawyer or build your own company or become a DJ at the age of 40, you know, so that you really leave this world with your mission fulfilled.
I love that. And it opens other questions I would like to address. So after the commercial of 2 minutes, we will be back. So stay tuned and we continue after the 2 minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Martina, you just said that you had this 3 days experience in the dark, with silence, just with you. And you gave us some tips. What are your 3 hacks for staying healthy, for staying grounded? And now we get back to digitization, to the rush, to this changes, to this optimization never ends, to this getting more speed, to this really increasing depression worldwide. What do you think could each of the people do, even if they're not feeling that they are spiritual, even if they think they are surrounded by rush and disruption and don't get a break, that they don't have anything they really know what's awaiting for them? Would you have an answer for them?
There's definitely a practical level and then also a more abstract level to that. So in terms of practical level, I would say it starts in the morning. Whether it is, for me, sports, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I get up, run my 5 kilometers and kind of meditate, you know, in movement. I don't really sit down and meditate and or pray or something like that. For me, it's really sports and music, which is the medicine, but really taking a moment for yourself before you switch on the phone. And then having a few highlights every day to look forward to, whether it is like a 15-minute break when you just go for a walk or tune into your music, have healthy food. That is very important because 80% of how we feel comes from food, right? And the intake. And really gratitude. Like every day I count my blessings. I have a healthy body. I have friends. I have family. I can survive. I'm alive, right? In many countries in the world, we would be dead by now because the average death rate is still quite low. So that's another thing. Apart from that, yes, music, as I mentioned, listening to different frequencies, whether you're spiritual or a business person, in your office, on the way to work, just in your headphones, they can be so soothing and relaxing. So these are a few practical tips. Some also use, you know, journaling for the gratitude that you can mention every day, you know, maybe 10 things that you are grateful for. On a more abstract level, it's really having a vision and purpose in life. And my favorite brand slogan in the world is the one from Nike, just do it. Like so many people let their life pass by and they never, you know, take action and just talk the walk, but don't walk the talk. So for me, it's really important to encourage others. And I'm also a mentor, for example, at the famous Tsinghua University in China for the Schwarzman Scholars, to tell them, go for it, you know, risk it. Even if you fail, if you haven't tried, you will regret it one day. So having this meaning in life, I think, is really important because it will give you so much in terms of happiness and mental and physical health as well. And then making this impact is the most powerful thing for yourself, but also the community and broader society you live in.
Absolutely. And it brings me to a point. You are not only well known for that, what we covered, you're also well known for your female empowerment support. Why female? Why especially the women?
Women are the backbone of humanity. We are such a power of nature and energy, and so sufficient, like so efficient and powerful if we work together. And I just feel like the female energy is supernatural. We have these incredible skills to uplift each other and make it happen. I really love working with women, even though my team is full of men at the frequency school. But I do believe if women ruled the world, it would be a much more peaceful place.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And I mean, when I remember Major, for example, I mean, he had cancer. He understood what an illness, what being not healthy means, and from that he started transform.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think men need to be better in supporting women, but also being better supporting the world for a world worth living in?
Mm-hmm. I believe that for men, it's probably always a question of competition, being stronger, being better, being more intelligent, but actually realizing that vulnerability is a strength as well. And seeing, of course, the worth in women, and we need them as allies as well, because we need all kind of genders nowadays, whatever definition of gender is. And so there is a huge shift, I believe, as well. I read somewhere that, you know, men, they hardly cry, they don't really talk to each other about emotions and how they feel. So it's really important, I believe, to be honest, to have transparency, to have communication and share with each other and just acknowledge each other's strengths. I always focus on positivity and never, you know, anything that can actually bring us down or have a reverse impact or reaction. So I believe that if you know, we focus on the positive always and work together, collaboration over competition, this is the most important thing. And men need women, women need men. There is no future without us working together. And we, you know, need them, of course, to advance our mission as well for female empowerment.
What do you think, how can leaders adapt on that, what you are teaching, or what is the essence of Frequency Stool?
Yes. For leaders, we want to help them with their mental health and well-being, and also bringing more awareness, mindfulness, and consciousness. So we are talking to big corporations, even airlines, for their business lounges and airplanes, and hospitality groups for their lobby areas and so on, to really softly, gently infuse sound and frequencies without teaching or preaching, so that people, when they experience, they actually realize how healing sound and frequencies can be without forcing anything. And then from, you know, the top to the bottom, people will get it, and we can tune the world into different frequencies. We're absolutely sure and convinced about that.
You said in the beginning that the world is currently a bit fractured, right?
Mm.
It's cutted. We see that. I think old patterns show up. We see that things which looked like covered. We see that relationships which looked like being helpful, being peaceful,
mm-hmm.
they turn off their costume and show their raw face. And would you say that this is a good developing?
I believe that we need a storm, we need a disruption, we need this kind of breakup in the world. Sometimes, you know, crises, they lead to new opportunities. It's like COVID, where all of a sudden there is huge, you know, technology shifts and new developments and innovations and much more fast paced, sometimes, of course, also bad. But we are living in a time of fast adaptation, and we need to be flexible. And I believe the time is now. We are getting so many feedbacks and reactions, and the resonance around the world is absolutely crazy. So we're just at the beginning, we say always at the Frequency School, but building these communities, thanks to initiatives like World Frequency Day, which is now from a global moment at 11:11 a.m. or p.m., turning into this global movement. More people are joining us around the world. And as you said before, Annabelle, it's all about working together and empowering others. So we're not like telling them what to do on 11:11, for example. It's their own creativity and, you know, innovation and idea and activations and events that they want to do, so that we can just uplift each other and support each other and yeah, unite the world in these difficult times.
Absolutely. In the past, we often said that the United States is the country where everybody looks at and where trends are settled. Now we see that it's more and more also China, which is the area where this is happening. What is your what are your views on that? And what do you see currently in China if it comes to mental health, but also to spiritual thinking and more humanity?
Absolutely great question, Annabelle. So I lived in China from 2012 to 2017. It was really the honeymoon days of China, political opening up, new policy reforms, free trade agreements being signed, a lot of FDI investments. It was just absolutely incredible. And also working for CCTV, the Chinese television, and witnessing this fast-paced economic development from inside out, right, being part of this machine. But then when Xi Jinping became president for the third term in 2018, things went downhill. It became so political, huge propaganda as well. And then, of course, COVID hit. I was also in lockdown in China for many weeks. And how I compare China, for example, to the UAE is the UAE has also a very visionary leadership, of course, but not so much politics involved. If China didn't have the Communist Party and this political government and system in place, it would be like a dream. Like it would be even more advanced. It would be more innovative. It would be absolutely incredible. More investments, you know, more foreigners again, even though there has been a reopening now again. But I love China. I love the culture. I believe in a past life, I must have been Chinese. And of course, also when it comes to spirituality, there is so much we can learn from China, from traditional Chinese medicine to sound frequencies to everything, the way of life, the characters, the Chinese, you know, handwriting. I mean, it's all about balance, I believe, and yin and yang. So if we can combine some of these, you know, TCM modalities and ancient healing practices with modern tools, I think that will be amazing.
I completely agree with you. One last question before we unfortunately have to leave for now. What have world leaders taught you about power and fear?
That there is a law of attraction. Fear attracts fear. Power attracts power. But love attracts love. And so I only want to deal with love and positivity and great vibes and not touch any fear or politics or power. Stay away from that.
Would you say, is this typical gender-like that men, for example, like this more, or is it just maybe more about our industry, past industry age, that this is about want to gain always more and more?
I would never categorize that, that it's a gender thing. I would say that women, we have more soft power, so to speak, and you know, this female energy and want to, yeah, bring peace to the world rather than a competition and power struggles. So I do think that with w more women leaders in business and politics and all different, you know, industries and sectors, definitely, 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 we will have a more peaceful world.
And maybe it's more not about gender, but maybe it's about unfolding your potential as you do it, that you're not categorizing you as you're the producer, the organizer, the event manager, the moderator. No, you are allowing yourself to be also the DJ, where maybe other people would say, oh my God, now she's doing awesome music while she has been done this and that. We need maybe most and most ever to think outside the boxes, and you show the people how to do this.
Thank you, Annabelle. Absolutely. Never let anybody put you in a box, and be who you want to be unapologetically and yeah, unstoppable. So we want to work together with people like you, Annabelle, and everybody listening to the show and make this world a better place.
Thank you so much, Martina. It was a pleasure talking to you. It is a pleasure to knowing that we're standing together for a world worth living in. And I'm very much looking forward to all things we will do in the future to make the world a better and more music place.
Absolutely, Annabelle. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. And that wraps up our episode of We Empower for today, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of women and men around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence and engagement mean the world to us. And we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the motivation to live life to the fullest. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued. And together, we can make a difference, and we should start every moment and every day. And even if it's a small little step, this small step can change the world, our world, but also the world for everybody else. So thank you for being part of our community. And until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.